If you will, please turn in your Bibles to John, John chapter 15. We'll be flipping back and forth, but end up in John 15 mostly tonight. I want to preach and deal with the word love tonight. Now, I know the girls like that, and Zeke even, his head popped up when I said love. He's still, oh, yes. Anyway, you turn on the television, and there's so many movies and so forth on love. Turn on the radio, and I would say the majority of songs certainly have to do with love. And books, there's those romance novels, I think. Hundreds are written every year on love. But much of that love in the world is false. It's lust. And it's not what the Bible teaches, and I want to look at Bible love tonight. I won't be as long as our pastor. That's one thing you can rejoice in. But, well, Judy says amen, huh? Anyway, I know I've said this before, but there's something about age, because I was a longer-winded preacher than our pastor. Now I'm about half as long, and I say amen also, right, Cheryl? Cheryl knows how long I used to be. But anyway, I want to read John 15:9, and I want to just kind of look at the word love throughout the Bible. John 15:9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Continue ye in my love." Notice Jesus commanded to live in, to walk in, to persevere in my love. Jude 21 reads, "Keep yourself in the love of God." And so I want to preach tonight just a simple message on how to stay in the love of God. It's so important, how to stay in the love of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a good church, first of all. If there's anything I've seen through my ministry years, is good churches are disappearing. And I just would hope that we as a church would appreciate the fact that we have one of the very few good Bible preaching churches left in America. And I just pray for our pastor, help us to stay strong, to be what we ought to be. In your name we pray. Amen. The God of the Bible is a God of love. I am not known as a wishy, lovey-dovey type guy. But we're all to live in love, mercy, grace, because that's what the Bible teaches. When you study the Bible, you see that God's love is evident in all of his actions. Not only where you would think in part or some or a few, but his love is seen even in his judgments. God's love was evident in the garden even. Now, they rebelled, they were disobedient, they sinned, yet in God's mercy, we read him walking and calling, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" And he slew animals and clothed them as a picture of us being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We can even see God's love in the universal flood in Noah's day. The Bible says the whole world was corrupted. And yet one man, the Bible says, one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he showed him how to build that huge ark for the saving not only of his household, but of mankind. And I'm glad that he did that, or we wouldn't be here. That's love. The point I'm trying to make is it's not just when you'd think the love would be shown, but even when we sin. God's love can be seen in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think there's a worse sin than that. Homosexuality is sick. And I can't help but throw something out here. Do you know one politician that'll take a stand against homosexuality? Our president won't. The Republican Party won't. Nobody will take a stand. And I think it's the sickest sin there is. And I think that fact that they won't take a stand shows the depravity of our nation today. A guy can't get elected if he takes a stand against the sickest sin you ever want to find. And again, even with that sick sin all around and Lot's backsliding, he salvaged him and he led him out to safety. We can see God's love in the life of Peter, Jesus' friend, the one who was his right-hand man. And can you imagine this? When Jesus is dying, okay, Jesus is being crucified, and Peter turned his back on him, cursed, swore. And again, at the Sea of Galilee, you see Jesus come to Peter. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? And the next picture we see of Peter is standing at Pentecost and preaching and 3,000 people saved. Now that's love. And aren't you glad that God loves us? Aren't you glad for these? He forgives us. He loves us even when there's sin. If there's ever been a day when the old world needs love, it's today. Again, in my life, again, people used to be friendly. People used to be kind to each other, help one another. I'm not saying there's nothing like that, but I've never seen so much anger as I see today. I've never seen such hate as we see in the world today. But again, God loves the world. Now, we need to spread the word. If you would turn to Romans 5:8, we know this passage, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to spread that word. We need to let the world know. In a world of hate, in a world of bigotry, in a world of sin, God loves. God loves. I think that's the best way we can spread the gospel. God loves you. We need to show people Romans 8:38. Here is again another wonderful passage. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God. That's wonderful. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Harry Morehouse, was a great preacher in days gone by, and he said he'd never start a sermon without quoting John 3:16. Before he'd preach any sermon, he'd quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Another great preacher in past, G. Campbell Morgan, said he could never preach on John 3:16, and I'd have to say yes to that. He said it, and I agree. I could never plumb the depths of John 3:16. We can't measure the love of God, but we need it. Not just theology, we need it. We need it inside of us. We need to spread it. We need to know it in this world of anger and filth and sickness. And again, we are in that. Again, we shouldn't get used to it. Some of you, when I was talking about there's not a conservative politician that will take a stand, you're kind of looking at me. You can show me one. But we're living in a sick world, a world, again, I'll say it, that a person cannot be elected to a high office who'll take a stand against homosexuality. It's sick. We need the love of God. Back in Jude, again, I've got quite a few verses we'll be flipping back and forth to, but Jude 21, it says, "Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, what's that saying? Can we drift away from God's love? Can we get to such a place that we lose our salvation? No, there's no way we can lose our salvation. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we have to work to stay saved. And I praise God for that, because if I had worked my way to heaven, I know some of you are better Christians, but I'd never make it. I could never make it. The Bible, though, tells us that he loved us so much that he gave his son for us to be saved. He loves a Christian even when we're dirty. Now, that shouldn't give an excuse to be dirty. I want to throw this out, especially you young people. The devil wants to get you when you're young. If the Lord's dealing with your heart and you want to move forward, don't think it's going to be easy. The devil wants to get you when you're young and destroy you. You say, can't you get forgiveness? Yeah, you can get forgiveness, but you'll never have the life God wants for you. So the devil's always out after you. Yet, even when we're dirty, even when we're sin and out of fellowship, he's pleading for us to come back. He loves us. And even when there's no response, even when we don't love him, even when we're unlovable, there are the results of sin, but he still loves us. Don't ever doubt the love of God. But what does Jude 21 mean? Keep yourself in the love of God. What does it mean? It's talking about your love for him. What it's saying is we need to fan our love for God. We need to build, work on our love for God, increase our love for God. As a Christian, your love should always be growing. Your love for the Bible, your love for this church or the church you attend, your love for prayer, your love for his children. I want you to check your love tonight. That's what it's all about. I want you to gauge your love today. Take your temperature. Do you love God? Now ask yourself, please, do you love God more than you loved him yesterday? Do you love him more than when you got saved? Do you really love God, or is it old hat to you? Now again, you get tired of me saying this, but I've been saved for decade after decade. I've been saved since a little 5-6-year-old boy. And it's easy to get cool, even in the work of God, even as a soul winner. So you've got to check it. The church of Ephesus didn't do that. We read, thou hast left thy first love. Now that's sad. I'd hate for God to say that to me. Peter didn't do that. Jesus had to come and say, lovest thou me? Do you love me? I hope that the Lord never has to ask you, do you love me? Demas didn't do that. Apostle Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. But we have a responsibility. We should love God above our family. You say, well, you know that? No, that's hard sometimes. What does that mean? You spank your kids when you don't want to spank them because you believe God, because you love God, you see? Whatever it might be, you love God above things. You love God before your vacation. You say, what does that mean? You take your vacations in line with church and that type of thing. You should love God above your boyfriend or girlfriend. You say, oh, that's terrible. I don't understand that. No, if you love God first, you'll have a better relationship. If you put God first, it'll mean so much to that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In one sense, you say, well, I don't want to love God before my boyfriend or girlfriend. No, you'll have a much better love affair with your boyfriend or your girlfriend if you put God first. The same thing with your family and everything else. I don't try to be mean when I try and say, put God first. It ends up that things work out so much better. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Do you love him that way? If not, we ought to work on it. Keep yourself in the love of God, in as much love as you can. And I believe every Christian here should say, how? How can I love him more? How can he be more personal to me? How can I be more sensitive? How can I love him more? That's what I want to look at today. He loves us, then he says, stay away from this. Do this. In minute detail, he'll show you what he wants you to do. I guarantee you, if you walk with him, he'll show you. But so many times, instead of having God's best, we're like dumb animals. We're gonna rebel. We're gonna put on an act. We're gonna look like a good Christian teenager, but I'm not gonna be. You're the one that'll fail. Now again, get tired of me if you want, but I've watched hundreds of teenage kids destroy their lives. Hundreds, because they were phonies, because they put on an act. They acted like such a good Christian, but they weren't. They knew in their heart they weren't. And what ended up? A ruined life. Married to a bum. Ruined life. So, again, let's go all the way. We, first of all, keep ourselves in the love of God by keeping ourselves in his word, by reading the Bible. Some people now don't, if you disagree, fine. Some people like to read 50 pages a day or something. I'm a slow reader. And rather than read a certain amount, I read until I get something out of the Bible. And I would suggest that to you. Don't try and say, well, I read so much and I did this. That doesn't make you spiritual. Read the Bible and get something out of it. And he'll give you something if you're looking for it. You can't love God correctly if you don't love his word. You can't be in the right relationship with the Bible if you're not with God if you're not in a right relationship with the Bible. That's how he speaks to us. If you have a negative feeling toward the Bible, it's a negative feeling toward him. If you're treating the Bible lightly, you're treating him lightly. Some don't know what it is to read the Bible every day. And I want to stress, you disagree with me, okay. Get something out of it. Read it. I'm in Kings. Oh. This king killed this king and that king killed that king. I'm not getting much out of it, so I go over to Psalms, okay? I'm going to work my way through Kings, but I'm going to get something out of Psalms. So excuse me, I know some people say, doesn't matter where you're reading it. I'm just giving you my opinion. Get something out of the Bible. Read it. Let it speak to your heart. Again, but some people don't know what it means to read the Bible every day. Some people don't know how to get in the Bible and relish and really enjoy it. But there's no way to love God and not love his word. In John 15, the book of John, chapter 15, again, verses 9, 10, and 11. Wait, better get in John. I've got an old Bible that's fallen apart, and pages stick together, and sometimes don't know where I'm at. John chapter 15, verse 9, 10, and 11. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his life. What's that saying? You don't just say, I love you. That word is used so lightly today. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what he's saying. If you love me, you're going to be right with me. And again, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Where are his commandments? In this book. Okay? He wrote them that we might be successful. Again, you don't just read the Bible and say, you might disagree with me. You might say, I get lots out of Kings, that Jeroboam killed Rehoboam, you know, all the blood and all that kind of stuff. Not that I'm afraid of blood, but the point I'm trying to get at is, get something out of the Bible, okay? Get something out of the Bible. And that is where his commandments are. You can't even know his commandments without searching the scriptures. And there's more than 10 commandments. There's commandments on all these pages. Again, John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You want to be a friend of God? You do what he commands you. How do you find out what he's commanding you? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The more you love the book, the more you'll love the Savior. The more you live in the book, the more you'll live for the Savior. There's a definite connection between our love for God and love for the book. At times, I'm sure some look around and look at others and think, well, they're much better Christian than I am. And you wonder why they have so much victory. They have answers of prayer. God does so much for them. Their family seems to have God's smile upon them. God wants that for every single Christian. But the only way you're going to get it is in the book. Now, I love preaching. I love preaching. And we get a lot out of it. We should get a lot out of it. But you also need to get in the book yourself. One thing we've got to do is get in the Bible. Here's our instruction book. Here's where God guides us and directs us. It's the map to hidden treasure. And so many times we let it lay. Do you really enjoy when the preacher expounds on God's word? Do you look forward to it? Is it the same old thing? Love the book. What is your relationship with the word of God? It'll show you what your relationship with God is. I heard a story about a wealthy lady who invited some ladies over, and they were going to have a Bible study, and she started looking for a Bible. She couldn't find it. And she looked and looked and looked. She couldn't find it. And she finally asked her maid, do you know where my Bible is? She said, oh, yeah, I put it here 3 months ago. I'm afraid that a lot of us would think, well, I didn't read it for 3 or 4 days, but it might be 3 or 4 weeks. How long does it take? When I was a pastor, we would find, and I don't mean it's a sin to lose your Bible because you could walk out and leave it in the pew, but we would literally find hundreds of Bibles in a year's time that nobody'd claim. They didn't know where it was. It was gone. We'd pack it up and send them to the Philippines or something where people appreciate it. But again, I wonder what our relationship is with God. One way we can tell is what our relationship with the Bible is. Second, how do you keep your relationship? Keep yourself in love with God. Keep in the Bible. And keep yourself out of the world. Stay away from the world. I know our pastor has talked a lot about this, the trash of pornography and how pastors, I've heard unbelievable statistics about Christians, Baptists, and their pornography problems. And I'll tell you what, we heard just recently about a guy I know, a black, young black man, who fell into sin with little boys. And I talked to him years ago when he first, his father built the church, and we were preaching in a conference together, and I could see he was heady. And I pull him aside. I talk to him for a couple hours about being humble, trusting God. But how can a guy or a woman get involved in with messing with little boys? How does that happen? I'll tell you what it happens. Looking at pornography. And it just gets, and that's part of the wickedness of today. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And you hear this huge percentage of Christian men and women messing with pornography. You don't do that if you're in God's Word. You can't. God won't allow it. I'm not saying you can't, but you can't do both. God won't allow it. And so, again, how do you keep yourself out of the world? Again, I'm not talking about the universe, the planet. I love God created this place. I praise God. I'm out of Chicago and out west. Tomorrow, my wife and I are going to go hike up in Teton Valley, Alaska Basin, waterfalls, rivers. Beautiful. I love it. I love it. So I'm not talking about that world, but I'm talking about we're to love God and stay away from the worldly system. I hate the world system. I'm talking about love of pleasure more than love of God. I'm talking about lust for sex instead of a lust for the knowledge and person of the Word of God, a power person of God. I'm talking about an addiction to filth rather than addiction to prayer. See, what do you mean addiction to prayer? You know, you ought to live a life that it's just so normal, you just start praying, okay? You have something happen, you pray about it. You pray about it. It's just part of your life. It's an addiction. What do you love today? Where do you spend your time? I heard about a lady, true story, read about it in the paper. I think it's true. but anyway, she bought a house and lived in it for 20 years without ever taking the garbage out. And the garbage was 3 feet deep all over the house, full of rats, full of roaches, full of vermin. She lived in it and she liked it. When I thought of that, I thought of the world. The world is sick. Pornography, booze, just trash. It's like living in trash. And they think it's so good and they laugh at us, don't they? Oh, that's Christian. They're fools. That's the world. They live with trash. But what a shame. Some Christians are hoodwinked by Satan, and they do the same thing, and they wonder, what's wrong? Turn to 1 John 2:15 and 16. For some, the Lord's day is nothing but squeezing God in every week. They work, 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 television, sports, hobbies. Please listen to me. You'll never get anything out of church that way. I see people in our church, they've got their device. Before church, after church. I was in a church where the pastor's wife would sit in the front row and she'd be looking at her device until it was, you know, sometime into the service. You turn it off, and as soon as service over, you're on your device. You're not going to get anything out of it. You wonder, what's wrong with me? Why don't I get anything out of it? That's what's wrong. You ought to prepare your heart for church. You ought to come to church excited. And take. You say, you're living in, yeah, I'm living in the dark age. I've got a flip phone, and I haven't opened it for days, maybe weeks. Okay? I pastored my church. Now, I know it was 10, 11 years ago now, but I pastored a church of a couple thousand people, and I didn't have one of those things. If you wanted me, you had to call my secretary, okay? You say, that's terrible. No, it isn't. Don't let that thing ruin your life. Don't let it rule your life. I am proud to say I have a flip phone. And I'm not saying you have to have a flip phone, but I'm saying put the thing away. Don't carry it in the church. Leave it in the car. Again, people, you understand what I'm trying to say is you can't just be all excited about this over here, turn church on, all excited about this over here, and think you're going to get something out of church. You're not. You're not. Put God first. Not work, 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 TV, hobbies, sports, sports. We think we do God a favor to just work and run in the church and check it off, and we wonder what's wrong. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I think that's everything in the world, not just bad things. Now, I love food. Your pastor got that from his grandfather. There's things I like. I used to love football. I used to eat. I haven't seen a football game. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch a football game, but I haven't seen a football game in years. Okay? I want to see one sometime, you know. I like the game. But the point I'm trying to get is, put it aside. If we really believe he's king, if we really believe that the only thing that's that will be worth anything in this earth, make our priorities right. Love not the world, the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think that includes football. I really do. I'm not saying football's a sin or baseball, but we worship these guys, these drunkards, these drug addicts, these bums. We worship them. Now don't leave here saying I'm against football. I'm not, but I'm against how important people make it. They couldn't miss a game, or, you know, it's just so important. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See the world? The internet. Sorry. TV, jobs, sports, things, money, ideologies, all that. They're all going to draw us away from God. And I'm not saying we can live in the world without it. And I'll say again, I'm not saying you're wrong if you watch a football game, but don't let it control you. Don't let it be your God. The more your eyes are on the world, the less your eyes are on Jesus. The more your thoughts are on the world, the less your thoughts are on Jesus. And that's what I mean about the internet or whatever on phones. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's not worship. The Catholics do a better job going into church and being quiet before Mass. The more your eyes are on the world, the less they're on Jesus. The more your thoughts are on the world, the less they're on Jesus. There are two warring areas in our lives. The world, the flesh, and the devil fight against the things of God. And we take things so lightly. We so think we can compartmentalize our lives. So some people are just defeated and they think that's life. Who's getting the victory? Over in Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. You know, that includes guns. You say, are you against guns? No, I'm not against guns. Don't misquote me. But I'll tell you what, some Christians, everything is guns and shooting. Nothing wrong with guns. But not right before church. Understand? Put God first. The more you love the world, the more you'll despise God. You'll get to not like Christian fellowship. You won't like preaching. You say, I don't like the word despise. The Bible uses it. And you will. It's one or the other. You won't want to pray. You won't want to read the Bible. You won't want to witness. Again, you go down. The sad, sad thing to me is preachers, graduates of the Bible college I started, preachers fall into sin. How do they do that? I'm preaching on it right now. That's how they do it. They compartmentalize. They love this, they love this, they love this, and they get up and preach. They do wrong, or they just don't do right. Again, I'm not saying wicked sin, but that's how you get into wicked sin. Put God first, or you won't want to pray, witness. Keep playing footsie with the world, and you'll despise the things of God. Do you want to stay in love with God? Keep out of the world. Don't let money ruin your life. Run your life. All over. You young people don't know this. That's the problem with being young. You haven't seen, no experience. But all over, I could point to people who were once strong soul winners, who were Bible readers, prayers, churchgoers, givers, are now dead and cold. What happened? The world stole their love. And it doesn't start with filth. I want to stress that. I know I'm repeating myself. It starts with laziness, neglect, money, jobs, putting things of the world in front of God. But it ends a way you can't comprehend. The world will steal your love for God every time if you don't hate it. Fight it. And the world is anything that takes away from the Bible, church, God, prayer, standards. If you want to keep yourself in the love of God, you've got to keep in the Bible out of the world. I've just got 2 minutes left, 3 or 4 minutes left, so I will not preach my third point. But the third point is, if you want to keep yourself in the love of God, love His appearing. Love His rapture. If you love Him, you'll want Him to come back. When I was in the Navy Air Reserve, and I was down in Memphis, Tennessee for 9 months, just about, I don't know, shortly before we got married. And at Christmas, we had a 36-hour leave. And I didn't have a car, but there were some guys that were going to the Chicago area. And I got in the car, sat in the middle seat in the back. They all were smoking and all this kind of stuff. I don't know if they were drinking. I can't remember. But I drove home for just a short time with my wife. Okay. You say, why? Because I love her. Understand what I'm saying? You'll do anything for somebody that you love. And if you love God, you'll look for His appearing. You'll want Him to come. You say, I want to get married first. That's normal. I want a house, job. I want to do this or that. If you love Him, you'll be looking for Him. You'll be looking for Him. And I'll tell you, with the world we have, wow, with the world that we live in, we should be looking for Him and be happy when He comes. Continue ye in my love. Keep yourself in the love of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. I pray that you'd use it, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts, grab a hold of some young person before they ruin their life. And us older people, make sure we should be looking forward to seeing you soon, that we're living for you. I pray you'll bless the invitation. In your name we pray. Amen.